Blog Talk Radio.
No kidding. Good evening and welcome to Eerie House Radio. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show, accompanied by
Dave Meekley from Weird News Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One, and we're here along with
it's the mobile guard ghoul backing into his driveway. Blah, blah.
Now I truly feel cursed.
Oh, me too.
Gar calls in today from traffic, and I'm like, yeah. I hope you're in a car.
Yeah.
You know? Fogsbane, hi, welcome to the chat.
We were just talking about Fogsbane.
Yeah.
We were.
We actually recall when you called us way back in 2018, only 5.5 years ago. Not too long.
I lost it. What did I do with it?
Yes, sir. And we're cursed.
Uh-oh. He says we're cursed. We only say good things, Fogsbane. We only say good things.
Yes.
And you're always welcome to call in, by the way.
Yes, as is anyone at 646-378-0264.
Yeah, I understood there wouldn't be any math, but okay.
Yeah, you got to dial that carefully, otherwise you get the IRS audit hotline, so you don't want to dial around.
No, I remember the days when by dialing wrong, you could throw your wrist out, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
You could break an index finger. That's right.
The best what? Now, we just know what it's like in Cleveland if you're a sports fan, like Dave and I are on and off, mostly on. and don't tick me off by changing your name. We know what sports curses are all about. Our teams seem to have the worst luck in the world, yet our teams keep fighting on them because they get millions. Where we get nothing but your love and attention, and that's all we want. And the shirt. Yes. And your mind and your soul. No, we're just playing old-time radio. That's what we're doing. And we got 3 cursed tales tonight.
Yes. Yeah, going through it, listening to it, that's a good curse. I have other good curses, too. I found some Egyptian curses and some Amazon curses and some other curses coming at you from everywhere else down the road here.
I feel kind of cursed because I can't find part one of the necrophobia. That's it, necrophobia.
Necrophobia.
I do not see part 1.
What did I do there? Is part 2
But that's okay. But some time to also mention we've got The Shadow and Weird Circle tonight. Cursed Tales.
I shall bring that right up, Dale.
Zootin', freakin', blinkin', fruitin', zeetin', hootin', tootin'.
Rackin', flackin', sugar, nagger, mucker, rippin'. That?
Cartoon swearing, cartoon cursing is about the best, isn't it?
I liked it.
Especially when it almost sounds like swear words, but it's not. It's ridiculous.
But it's not.
Garble.
It's
like Muttley's. Like when Muttley cursed. I always loved that one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Muttley. And then he'd giggle.
Yep. Yeah, he had that.
Okay.
Hissing.
The heck am I doing?
Giggle. That old Muttley. And our stories, The Shadow is the Curse of Shiva. We got Weird Circle, Curse of the Mantle, and Necro.
Oh, hey, Dale.
Phobia.
It is there. It looks like the parts are, for whatever reason, separated.
You got to keep them separated.
Yeah.
Oh, I see it. I see it.
Yeah, it's there. I was just
got
ready to upload.
I drag it where I can make things sound like we almost plan these things out.
Yeah, I don't know why it's split up like that, but it is.
That's all right.
There we go.
That's my fault.
All
my
you
fault.
Professionals.
I could have scrolled down one more click there, and I could have seen it, but no, I had to whine like a little girl. There you go. that's how we roll around here. That's how I roll anyway. Where will we start tonight's fun and pleasure?
Well, we have never had a necrophilia before.
Phobia.
Necrophobia. I mean, necrophobia. I mean,
see
necrophobia.
What I did
yeah.
to you? See what I did to you?
See what you did to me last week, Dale. You just
I know.
Necrophobia.
Yeah, it's a new to the channel show.
I had to look that up. It was good. Now I left it. Necrophobia.
Yeah. Is it fear of being dead or fear of the dead?
The irrational fear
of death.
It's the irrational fear of dead organisms.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Mm.
E.g. corpses. You have a rational fear of corpses.
Well, it depends how old it is. I mean, if it's really rotten, it's carrying some disease, man. I ain't hanging around no month-old corpse-suckle.
I'm not all the way there, but I may be partially there. I get very uncomfortable as many funerals as I've been to and stuff around, and when people are leaning over them and sometimes even kissing them goodbye or something, my skin crawls. So I may be part way there.
Yeah.
Dave, missed opportunity. You could have said, hey, you want to search?
See, I'm not putting anybody through that. I'm going to make them remember me as I was. It's because I'm going the route of the can of gas and pack O matches. Poof.
You
done
know,
deal.
You would never... You would never think these two would
with me. Oh, what?
You would never think these two would coincide, but one of the last jobs I worked with a plumbing company was in a morgue, and we were replacing the embalming room, all the plumbing fix. It was disgusting. It was just really bad.
It probably smelled funky, too, from all the formaldehyde.
It smelled awful.
I bet.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Thanks for cheering us all up. Well, did you feel cursed?
Uh-huh.
Did you feel cursed?
I don't feel cursed, but I feel proud.
Yeah.
I could gross you all out.
Dave, did you ever feel cursed in your life?
Other
than the last 7 years on the weekends. I mean,
no, only of my first marriage. Other than that, that was my own fault, you know? Only my first marriage, and that was my own fault. Yeah.
True,
I'm amazed at how bad you guys' first marriage was.
We know how to play it up. Well, here, I'll give you an example. If you want to get into that, all right, breaking a curse, you know how... This is how... We went the cheapy route. I bought a kit. We got divorced. We had very little, you know. We lived in a small trailer. Kid you not. Very, very little in the bank, you know, whatever. So we did this quickie divorce kit for like $75. Filed it in Summit County, Dave.
In Summit County? Really?
Yeah. And
okay.
We lived in Peninsula.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So anyway, on the way out of the courtroom, you know, we went together because it was mutually consent and everything was agreed upon with what I wrote. And on the way out, she goes, can we still be friends? And my response, which was truthful, I said, you wished me dead in a car accident. I got better friends than you. That was my parting words to my ex-wife.
Yeah.
Felt good. Even though I got screwed out of a few things from the agreement, it was too small to worry about and chase about. I just let it go.
Yeah. I played like a possum. I was dead. Take everything. I'm done. Bye.
Yeah, it's like tearing off the Band-Aid, you know, just get it over with. Just give it a yank and be done, and you'll heal quicker. It may leave a bigger scar, but it'll heal quicker.
The great thing about being young and poor is if they want half, there ain't much of it, right?
Yeah. Take half the bills, bitch. Oh, sorry.
What? Reckon, fracking, snorkin', murkin', reckon.
Witch, I said witch. Curse of the Red Hand is our story from Necrophobia.
Take a breath.
And Sagar, don't you have an original broadcast date for this one?
We do have an original broadcast date, and I dare anyone to dispute this because you can't find it anywhere. We have November
17th, 1828. Wait, what?
1828? What? Yep, before radio was
even invented. What? Frightening episode of Necrophobia is brought to you by Wilson Shoehorn. A maker of fine shoehorns for boots, dress shoes, or just about any kind of footwear. We'll hear
about money from shoehorns to sponsor a radio show
shortly. But now we go to the gravedigger, who is digging up a chilling new tale of horror and suspense for us right now.
I'm the gravedigger who tells stories of shock and terror. Oh, that is what I'm not digging, grave.
I'm not dead yet.
What? Hurry the gravedigger how to do his job, eh? Get down here. Come back here. That's another one. Oh, well. Now, I can tell you a story of murder, deception, and mummies. Prepare yourself for Curse of the Red Hand.
Oh, there you are, Jenkins. Help me with these plates, will you?
Oh, cool.
Did you notice Cartier's didn't even show up? Bad, Jenkins. Very bad. I'm telling you, if we don't clear out all this old junk and put up something that really gets some attention, he'll pull his funding for sure. He's already threatened to go to the Museum of Modern Art.
Well, that would be a shame, sir.
Shame? Because he has practically built this museum with his donation. Hey, Maria! Whatever your name is. Be careful with those wine glasses. That's real crystal. Just leave it there. Let me know we'll get it. Where was I?
Cartier's, sir.
Right. He came here back when my father opened this museum because we had exhibits folks around here could really relate to. All this old junk cutted in from Lord knows what godforsaken country. We are. Why, we were the first museum in New York to feature Matisse. Look at us now. The package came from Rochester. What is this stuff?
I believe those would be African tribal masks, sir.
Well, how do you know?
Because it says on the side of the box, Africa.
Oh, yes, I see. I can't believe this. Remind me to post a letter to Raj tomorrow. We've got to stop spending all our money on this archaic garbage. Like all that Egyptian junk we have in the basement. I've got a meeting with Pablo Picasso. He's going to be big, enormous.
Oh, very good, Mr. Andrews.
Why, he's working on a piece about the Spanish Civil War. He says it'll be outstanding. What about those Kandinskys? And that Beckman? I know we have a Beckman somewhere. We need something that'll really knock the city of New York on its rear end. Something with pizzazz. Modern. When is the last time you can recall seeing this museum in a newspaper, Jenkins?
Too long, sir.
Exactly. Or for that matter...
The Red Hand has slain yet another victim tonight.
The radio.
14-year-old Sybil Prescott was discovered dead in Lower Manhattan at 10:30 p.m., according to police.
Jenkins, turn it up.
This brings the death toll to an alarming 8 murders in the past month. The Red Hand is still at large, and his identity is still unknown to police. For those of you who are just hearing about it now, the Red Hand is believed to be a brutal killer whose method of attack on defenseless men, women, and children continues to baffle authorities and scientists everywhere. The victims of the Red Hand are always attacked late at night and display no visible injuries or markings, save one. The dark red imprint of an open hand on the victim's chest. This is, I believe, assumed to be the imprint of the killer's hand, according to police. But the most chilling thing of all, the thing that has left the entire scientific world absolutely dumbfounded, is this. When the victim's body is recovered, it is... Well, this may be a bit too much for the young ones to hear, ladies and gentlemen. The body is shriveled up like a prune and totally mummified. The bodies appear to be ancient as if they had been mummified for centuries. The doctors say this is, by all of our logic, impossible. Were it not for the positive identification of all victims by their dental records, police say they would have disregarded these bodies as a giant hoax. But this is no hoax, according to Police Commissioner Anton Leder. People are dying. This is a seriously grave matter. Something must be done about it soon. We have here a man who may be able to shed some light on the situation. He is a professor at a local university with a degree in, what did you call it?
Paranormal psychology.
Yes, yes, that's it. And that would be the study of,
supernatural forces and psychic phenomena. In layman's terms, the scientific exploration of the strange and unexplainable.
Yes, yes, of course. Professor, I'm sorry, what is your name?
Professor Jebediah Stang.
And you have a theory about the nature of our city's most vile killer in recorded history, the Red Hand?
Yes, I believe this Red Hand uses a method of attack similar to that of an ancient Egyptian past.
Incredible!
According to the ancient scroll of Sulah, there was a powerful curse known only to Seti Erdi, high priest of Bahuyuk. This curse was said to be carved into his shawakti.
Now, what were the ladies and gentlemen, I can't even say it. What would this thing look like, Professor?
Hard to say. Traditionally, a shawakti would be a small statue meant to fill in one's duties after his demise. It is strange that the Seti Erdi shawakti was entombed with him after death. We can only assume this was done to prevent the curse carved into the statue from falling into their hands of evil.
The curse?
The curse, when cast upon a mortal, would create a link between the mortal world and dead world.
Wait a minute, a dead world. Perhaps you can explain that for us, Professor.
It is a parallel dimension that all things must pass through in order to move from this life to the next. According, that is, to several ancient texts, including the Egyptian Book of the Dead. Now, may I continue?
Of course, Professor.
In dead worlds, the subject of the curse would become the hand of Anubis, the god of the dead.
And what makes you think this curse is related to the murders of the Red Hand?
Anubis was worshipped as the inventor of embalming, having embalmed his dead father, Osiris.
So now, let me get this straight. You think that the Red Hand may be using some sort of ancient Egyptian curse of Anubis to transform living victims into mummies?
That is essentially correct. I intend to look into this matter personally.
Amazing. Did I call the Egyptian collection junk?
I believe you.
Jenkins, what are you doing tomorrow night?
Oh, I usually turn in early on a Sunday.
I'll tell you what you're doing. You're going to help me pull that stuff out of the basement.
Oh, I don't know if that's such a good idea, Mr. Andrews.
Get Tony and Manuel to help you. We're going to set up an exhibit that will fill this museum to the roof with visitors. Why, we'll be in every paper, all over the radio. Well, they'll have to close down the Museum of Modern Art when people hear what we get to offer.
No, thank you.
The mystery of the Red Hand. It's all uncovered here.
Boy, get out of my way. I'm in a terrible rush. Excuse me. Do you have a sign?
Yes, it
works as well. Oh, this is terrible. Put me on the next train.
Oh, there you go, sir. There's your ticket.
Thank you.
Right here. Now, local museum brand Egyptian exhibit with...
Strange. What kind of station is this? Of course, it's almost midnight. I'm going to ask when the next train will come through. Go back. What? Excuse me. I thought I was alone. you wouldn't happen to know when the next train arrives. You see, I must be home by midnight. I promised my wife. Hey, what's with the robe? What are you? Not even human. Stay away. Stay away from me.
I shouldn't have let Jenkins go home. He wasn't so old.
Yeah, Mr. Andrews, sir, there's someone upstairs. He says he wants to talk to you.
What? At this hour? Last after midnight.
Yeah, he says it's real important. Should I tell him to beat it, or you want to talk to this guy?
Yes, yes, I'll tell him I'll be right there. All right, you got me up here. Now, who are you?
Hello, Mr. Andrews. I am Professor Sting.
Oh, yes, yes, I know you. You're the fellow from the radio. The one with that crazy theory about the Gibson curse. What do you want with me?
I want you to give me the Schwartz, Mr. Andrews. I know you have it.
The statue you spoke of on the radio. What makes you think I have it?
I saw you in the paper, Miss Andrews. An Egyptian exhibit. Some big surprise. You're planning to put that show up there on exhibit, aren't you?
Well, this is a museum, Professor. We have a large Egyptian collection. What makes you think we have that particular artifact?
Because, Mr. Andrews, this particular artifact was brought into the country by the McCreary's. And your father purchased it from the McCreary's over 40 years ago.
Oh, really? Yes, I remember the McCreary's. Some big mess. About 35 years ago up in Black Gulch. And how do you know this?
I knew your father. He had a fascination with exotic treasures from the dark corners of the globe.
That's a mistake if you ask me. Trying to turn this into a progressive museum.
Yes, you announce an Egyptian exhibit on the heels of my radio announcement. I think you have that Schwartz. Now hand it over.
Even if I did have it, why should I hand it over to some strange professor in a field of study I've never even heard of? Paranormal psychology.
Look, Mr. Andrews, it is absolutely imperative that I take that Schwartz and dispel the curse properly. This scroll of Thula.
Get that dusty rag out of my face. Now, if you want to see it, you can come back when the exhibit opens and pay a nickel like everyone else. Now, scram, will you? I have important work to do.
Don't be a fool, Mr. Andrews.
I know. Tony? Manuel? Where did everyone go?
Well, I can replace them with a couple of hobos. Honey, adios. Jenkins, what are you doing here? What are you at home?
Waking in so what I could do.
Well, never mind. I can use the help. There'll probably be hell on night looking for you. Hey, what's this? The Chalopsy, it's been in here all the time. Look at that, Jenkins. Well, I suppose you can go home now. You just have to put this behind glass.
Why, you're going to put that on display?
Well, of course. Why do you think I've been looking for it? I know, the whole story is preposterous, but lucky for us, people aren't very smart. They'll believe anything you tell them. After what the professor said on the radio, they'll come in here in droves to see this ridiculous little artifact. And the important thing is, Cartier's will love it. Love it. Jenkins, cheer up. This thing is going to save our museum.
Can't let you do that, Mr. Andrews.
What? Why? What are you talking about, Jenkins?
I'm sorry, but the master has spoken.
What? What master? Who are you talking about? Why are you staring at me like that, Jenkins? What's with your eyes? Your hands? My God, Jenkins, your hand, it's glowing. What's wrong with you? What's going on here, Jenkins? I demand to know.
I told you.
What the?
The master has spoken.
Wait, okay. Let me just get out of here. What in heaven's name are you? God! I must get out.
I mean, that's incredibly creepy, Dave. Where did you find this gem?
I found this in one place. It's also on Spotify, but I found this from Radio Echoes, and Garth, from the music and stuff and the production values, wouldn't you say this is from maybe the 1970s that was somebody saved on a cassette or something?
Yes. Yes, I would agree. I would agree. It could be anywhere, 60, 70.
I agree from a different viewpoint. It the technology and the type of the language and stuff, it felt more like 70s. The slang.
They did that weird what do they call that? It's like New York, but having to do with the ocean, and they used it in films. It's some type of the slang dialect weird thing they had going on, like a continental type slang they used to use in radio and movies.
Yeah.
Ring
yeah.
No bells. Yeah, and the main character is using a lot of that.
So
yeah,
this was probably just a couple of guys, three at the most, but probably just a couple of buddies getting together to put some of these things together.
Well, they did a whale of a job.
I'm being like a blanket tent and a flashlight, and they're going at it, blah blah, sure.
and they were casting rabbit shadows on the wall as they were doing.
Yeah, rabbit shadows. Exactly. Yep, that's what I got out of it. I mean, it's kind of creepy, but yeah, it doesn't. It's not intense enough. There's a lot of what going on.
Yeah, but that I want to eat your soul kind of thing. I like that.
Yes,
I go for that.
Yeah,
I go for that soul eating. That's a good.
Yeah, weird appetite on that guy. Don't know what's going on.
Yeah,
give him some
maybe
pay
go for the
and have him sit down.
Soul. I'd go for maybe soul food, but not for the soul. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the filet of soul.
Yeah. give that guy some curry and have him sit down. Way too busy.
Yep. Well, we hope we curried your favor with this tale from necrophobia.
Necrophobia.
There you go. There you go. Mm-hmm. Take your time. Take your time.
Yeah.
I had to spit it out.
In phobia.
I know. Good old Bob joins us in the chat as well. Ugga, ugga, boo.
Ah.
Ugga, boo, boo. Ugga to you, too.
And hello there, good old Bob. And Paul's band. Boy, boy.
Blah, blah to you all, as the man says.
So,
yeah, this guy sounds pretty cursed, though. He's getting this demonic voice dude coming after him. And Fogsbane agreed with me, the radio host, the gravedigger, sounded a bit like John Cassier,
yeah.
You know, the guy who played the Crypt Keeper
HBO's
Tales from the Crypt.
And
but
was, what was it working? That was not late 70s? Was that late 70s
like
or what?
Or
no, that was 80s and 90s, I think.
80s and 90s.
Okay.
Tales from the Crypt.
I
was at my old house in Cleveland.
Yeah. The comic book with the Crypt Keeper, that 1950s, I think.
Well, and they were based directly on. In fact, I was lucky. During that same period, there were reprints coming out of the original EC Comics. And
yes,
I thought, well,
yes,
this is an affordable way to get these stories. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I bought a bunch
yeah
of those, still have them. And they were, a lot of them were almost verbatim taken from those stories, although they adulted them up a little bit because it was HBO.
Yeah. There was a bit more going on then.
A little more adult
and
material, yeah.
And the magazine formats of those were actually allowed for a little bit more adult content than you'd see in your smaller-sized comic book.
Well, that's, again, that was why, that whole thing was why they made the Comics Code of Authority, and that evil, evil, evil man changed comic books forever.
Marsden? Marsden? I don't know.
No, you know who it is. Frederick
Wortham?
Wortham, that's it, Wortham.
Yeah, okay.
He wasn't Wortham.
In my noggin somewhere. I hate that guy.
Yeah, I don't even know him. And
if I ever had a dartboard, his picture would be on it.
Yeah. Hate's a bit strong, but I disfavor him intensely and wouldn't cry if something bad happened to him. So there.
I think he's gone already. I think whatever bad stuff's going to happen already happened.
He was cursed.
He wasn't young when he wrote the
he
book.
He was cursed.
he was cursed.
Speaking of
curses.
He should have been. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a
whole lot of radio.
Yeah, this one is a rather long episode. We better get moving to the conclusion of Curse of the Red Hand.
Let me go. Get me out of here at once, Tinkin. What do you think you're doing?
I am the Hand of Death.
Yeah, well, you look like Jenkins to me. Up your eyes. Why are you doing all this, Tinkin?
I wear Death commands.
Death? You mean Anubis?
He is the god of all things.
Where are Tony and Manuel? Did you kill them? Let me go, Jenkins. We'll go to the police. I'm sure they won't do anything to you. Maybe they can get you some help. Obviously not in your right mind.
The master will take your soul.
Right. The god of death. Now, are you sure he's not the you in a robe, Jenkins? Maybe all of this is in your mind. For instance, where is he now? Oh my god. Okay. I give up. Oh, the thing I've never seen. What are you gonna do with that?
Death will kill you now.
Oh. Oh, yeah? I don't know about that, Jenkins. When you chain me down, you shouldn't have put me on such a weak pole. Oh. See ya, Jenkins. Brave, come chasing me in here, into the Dark Ages collection, here, under the guillotine.
Including the sarcophagus of,
That, yes, it was our priest at the Hoyuk. It's, T-O-H-U-I-U-K.
All right, I got that, Mr. Andrews. And I want to thank you for your time. And we'll get you in the next issue. I hear you're doing pretty well with this, exhibit.
Oh, yeah. We've had quite an opening. Quite an opening. Yes, this very well could be the exhibit that saved the museum, boys.
Well, that's great. Once again, congratulations. Oh, we gotta get this to press.
Sure. You boys drive safely.
Oh, wait, Mr. Andrews, I got one more question for you.
Okay, shoot.
Well, two, actually. First of all, originally you told us you had a big surprise for us in this exhibit. A lot of people thought maybe you had the statue, the little what was that thing called?
The golden Shawamti.
Yeah, the Shawamti. That's the statue.
Well, you're mistaken about that, but we do have many fine exhibits from the same period, actually.
Okay. I got one more question now. Don't you think it's kind of strange that the murder seems to have stopped right when you opened this exhibit? We're trying to make sense of that. Do you have any answers for us on that one?
What do you want me to say, Joe? You think that, don't tell me I actually believe in that old curse.
Oh, well, it just seems like a strange coincidence, you know. Well, good luck.
Yeah, okay, boys. I'll talk to you later. Closed, you know.
You can fool the press, but I know the truth.
All right. Well, there's no point in hiding it from you. You seem to know everything. Yes, I had the Shawati. I didn't know about the curse. I didn't believe it anyway. Apparently, the Red Hand was one of my servants, Jenkins. He must have read it. I guess he fell under the spell, and what I don't understand is why.
Once the spell takes over, you have no personal will.
No. I mean death. Why would he do all of this pointless killing? What was the purpose?
Death is his purpose. Normally, death does not operate unchecked. The seven shadows keep close watch on his actions. But the spell removes them from the equation, the human becomes a living channel through which souls may be escorted to the afterlife without their final judgment. It's all in a scroll.
Ah, yes. The scroll. What was it? The scroll of Thula?
Yes. You really should have read the scroll, Mr. Andrews. Keep it. Think of it as a gift.
Well, it is getting late. I'm going to have to ask you to read it. Professor, what? Where'd it go? Find the old coot. Let's see here. Scroll of Thula. Some kind of language I can't possibly. Oh, there we go. English notes. And I shall become a human vessel. Souls of the living shall travel through my blood. Negate the seven shadows, for I have become the hand of death. Fate and death become one. God, why would anybody want to cast a spell like this anyway? Oh, woe beware. These will dispatch us with a hand of death. Shall incur the wrath of all victims. And in death, victims of the hand shall rise up from their graves, and they shall avenge his death, and he who is the dispatcher of the hand shall be ripped limb from limb, and shall suffer all eternity in the world of the dead, and shall know no passage and no peace. My God! Who's there?
It is Manuel.
Manuel? What? You're dead.
Tony,
what? You're dead too. Everyone, stay out. Just stay out.
Midnight.
Who are you? Who are all you people? My God! What? You're all mummies! Walking mummies! Thinking!
Hello, Mr. Andrew. I will be taking your soul.
Poison eye out for the undead.
shepherds now.
I'll be darned if that doesn't sound like John Kassir. All right, that's
I still say it came from the 70s. So two guys who got their tape recorder and started playing.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Hiding under a blanket, flashlights in hand.
What? I wonder.
Could be.
If Mr. Kassir would know anything about that. Anywho, I'll bet we could learn something, don't you think? Erie House Radio proudly presents Gar's Moral of the Story.
It's okay to hold on to disbelief until something better comes along.
Yes, it was all about dreams.
I am so glad I brought to you guys It Was All a Bad Dream, because that's just priceless.
haven't used it in a while. It was due.
It was all it was a due. Bad dream. Yeah, in the comments we were talking about Art Bell. Oh my God.
There's a guy that went up, didn't he?
Yeah. And then there was another guy that took over after he retired. But
George Norrie.
There was a radio host guy on a contemporary radio, and he started doing these parodies of Art Bell. It was spot on, and it was hilarious. Oh. Mm. One of the guys said that the Martians were messing with the rover's camera, and he was going to go up to Mars in a potato-powered rocket, and go get them.
Potato-powered rocket.
Potato-powered rocket. At the end of the journey, he said, I really don't like eating potatoes anymore.
God.
Just,
yeah, I guess he did.
It was fun. Yep.
Take the big leap.
And he's still alive and kicking, this guy named Phil Hendry. I'm not really all that aware of radio folks, contemporary anyway. But he's still out there making jokes and stuff. So, yeah. I had a little bit of problems following the necrophobia. They jumped around a little bit on me.
It was a little disjointed, yeah.
Yeah. They were yelling under the blanket, something destructor!
Hey, well, left out this part. Hey, we left out this part. Don't worry, no one will notice.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
There you go.
Who's going to complain? They only had one show.
Yeah, what are they going to cancel us?
That's the crazy thing. I turned the internet upside down. I shook my monitors. Nothing came out about this necrophobia thing. Russian.
There's several shows there, I think.
We better get moving, though. Time's wasting, and we got some radio. Next, Shadow. The Shadow, Curse of Shiva.
Yeah, that's a good one.
All right. Who's our Shadow today, Dave?
1940. I think it's the second one. Bill Johnstone, I think.
Johnstone the Magician. Okay. All right.
that guy.
This one, Curse of Shiva, originally broadcast.
Yeah, we got that. It was originally broadcast on December 1st, 1940. We'll accept that one.
1940 and...
zero.
And the goat.
The Shadow, mysterious character who aids the forces of law and order, is in reality Lamont Cranston, wealthy young man about town. As the Shadow, Cranston is gifted with hypnotic power to cloud men's minds so that they cannot see him. Cranston's friend and companion, the lovely Margot Lane, is the only person who knows to whom the voice of the invisible Shadow belongs. Today's story, The Curse of Siva.
Good evening, Mr. Simmons.
Good evening, Watson. Mrs. Simmons at home?
Yes, she is, sir. She's in
the... What in places was that?
That was one of the guests, sir.
One of the guests?
Yes, Omar, sir.
Omar?
Omar the Mystic, sir.
Oh, I see. Well, yes. With Omar the Mystic?
Yes.
Well, now, just what goes on in there with Omar the Mystic?
I believe, sir, it is called a seance.
A seance?
Yes, sir.
In my library? Well, I'll put a stop to it. Who else is in there?
Mr. Loring and Mr. Reynolds, sir.
Well, now, that's fine, fine. Of all the tomfoolery I've ever heard of, I...
And now we will prepare to contact the spirits of those...
Ruth, what's going on here, dear?
Oh, John, we've been waiting for you.
Oh, greetings, John.
Good evening, John.
Well, what are you doing? What's this all about?
Shh, you break the spell.
Yes, and I'll break my neck if you don't put some lights on in here.
Quiet, please. We are about to proceed.
Who is that?
Oh, you don't know Omar, do you? This is my husband, Mr. Simmons, Omar.
I am pleased and delighted to meet you, Sahib.
And now, John, we're about to enter into communication with the spirit world.
Well, I would expect this from Ruth, but you, Paul. Say, are you serious?
Well, of course, John.
Well, of all the... Do you believe in this thing too, Bill?
Well, I'm very interested.
Well, I'm surprised at all of you.
Please, John, you may proceed, Omar.
Thank you, Mem Sahib.
Well, why does he have to make so much noise?
I am about to make contact with the god, Sahib.
Oh, I see. Did you have any particular one in mind?
I had. Do you see this statue before me on the table?
Why, certainly. It's big enough.
That is the great god, Siva. You will notice that he is blessed with seven hands.
Oh, now, this is too much, Ruth. This turban faker and his seven-handed playmate...
Stop! You have defiled the honor of Siva. He is communicating with me now. Quiet, please. He says...
Oh.
Wait. He says that there are dire things in store for the Simmons family.
Yes.
Siva is greatly offended. Siva promises... Siva promises death.
Oh, it's bunk. Pure, unadulterated bunk. You, Mr. Omar, your tin symbols, and your seven-handed friend can all get out of my library. Now, I have some work to do.
Oh, John, how can you be so rude?
Well, now, you'll please do
oh,
as I ask
John.
You.
I am leaving, Mrs. Simmons. But before I depart, one word to your husband.
Oh, yes? Well, what is it, my servant friend?
I must warn you, Sahib. You have angered the great god Siva. Death must follow.
Just about time for bed. Oh, is that you, Bill? Hey, who put out those lights? Huh? Well, come on, I'll stop playing games. Turn on the lights and we'll...
Hey, guys, let go! Let go of me! Help! Help! Oh!
John, what's happened?
John, you've got to... Wait a minute, Paul. It's no use. He's dead.
Oh, no.
Look. Look there on the floor beside him. It's a statue of Siva. His head was battered in by its weight.
The statue of Siva.
Yes, Ruth.
The promise. The promise of death was kept.
May we come in, Commissioner?
Oh, hello, Cranston.
Mrs. Lane.
Hello.
What do you two want?
Well, that's an interesting point. You see, Commissioner, we were sitting around having dinner, and I said to Margot, what are you doing? And she said...
Nothing. What are you doing? And Lamont said...
Nothing, and there you are.
And there I am. So you came down here to bother me.
Oh, now, Commissioner, is that nice? We just thought that...
That I'd be doing nothing?
Yes, Commissioner, that's right. That's what we thought, that you'd be doing nothing.
Oh, you did, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you were wrong. I'm very busy, and I'm leaving headquarters right now.
Somebody passed through a red light, old boy?
Did somebody pass
through... Well, maybe somebody broke a window.
No, my facetious friends. Somebody was murdered.
Oh, gosh.
Well, we did get here just in time. Who was it?
John Simmons, the broker.
When did it happen?
A few minutes ago. Listen, you're wasting my time. Buy a paper in the morning. You read all about it.
Oh, that won't be necessary.
What do you mean?
We're coming with you.
And then, Commissioner, Omar predicted that Siva would seek vengeance for the wrong that was done him.
And this same statue was the murderer's weapon, Mrs. Simmons?
Yes.
You, sir, what's your name?
Paul Loring. I'm Mrs. Simmons' nephew.
And you?
I'm Bill Reynolds, Commissioner. Mr. Simmons was a very dear friend of mine.
Oh. You both agree with the story that Mrs. Simmons has just told me?
Yes, of course.
We do. May I say something, Commissioner?
What is it, Cranston?
Well, this Omar chap sounds like a pretty fascinating character, Commissioner. Wouldn't it be wonderful if Omar could name the person who assisted Siva in taking his revenge?
Well, that sounds like a wonderful idea, Lamont.
Now, wait a minute, both of you.
I agree with Mr. Cranston, Commissioner.
But Mrs. Simmons,
Omar could do it. I know he could. He could hold a seance, communicate with my husband, and then John could name the one who killed him.
Listen, lady, there's a police department in this city. I am the head of that department, and we don't trap our criminals with a Ouija board.
But this thing might be a simple way to solve the whole case.
Cranston,
now, please, Commissioner, won't you just try it? Oh, I'm sure that Omar can help us.
Okay, where does this Omar live?
I'll show you.
Well, suppose we all get going.
Oh, just a minute. You're not in on this party, Cranston.
Oh, but Commissioner...
Miss Lane either. I'm going to be made a fool of. You're not going to be there to see it.
Oh, but Commissioner,
Sorry, those are orders. Now, come along, all of you. Tell you the truth, Mrs. Simmons, I've never been to a seance.
Lamont, what do we do?
Well, I've got a hunch there'll be an uninvited guest at that seance.
The late Mr. Simmons?
No. The Shadow.
We will proceed with the seance. You will all sit in a circle.
Now, wait a minute. What's this circle business?
Please, I must have silence, Commissioner.
Huh?
Now, someone will put out the light. You shall all join hands, please. The hands must remain joined. The chain must not be broken. We are thinking, many minds as one mind. Our thoughts are traveling to the world that is beyond the world. We are seeking contact in this world, contact with one that has newly arrived. We are sending our wishes that he will return to us in spirit and speak to us. Now, the contact has been made. The spirit of he who was once among us, the spirit of John Simmons, will speak to us again. Speak, John Simmons. Speak, John Simmons.
John? That's not his voice.
No, you're quite right. This voice belongs to the Shadow.
Shadow, what are you doing here?
Sorry to interrupt your little party, Commissioner West.
Turn on the light, someone. Turn it on.
That would be a wasted effort, as the Commissioner will tell you. Even if the lights were on, I would be quite invisible. By my hypnotic powers, I've clouded your mind so that you may not see me.
That's right.
Why did you come here?
To tell you that Mr. Simmons will not appear tonight.
You lie.
No, Omar. I had the foresight to cut the cable that leads from the amplifying system to the loudspeaker that is under your chair.
Shadow, you mean this whole business is a fake?
That's rather a harsh way of stating it, but true.
Well, of all the...
One moment, Commissioner. Before you sneak out the door, Omar, you are going to answer a few questions.
What questions?
How did you know that Mr. Simmons was going to die tonight?
The great god Siva revealed it to me.
That's a lie.
No,
your source of information was human. Someone requested that you plant your threat, didn't they?
Please. Please. I don't know what you're saying.
Answer me. You must reveal what you know.
Very well. I will tell you. I will tell you all that I know. But you must protect me. You must save me from meeting the fate that befell John Simmons. You must save me from meeting death at the hands of...
Put on those lights. Yes. Look, he's been shot through the head.
That revolver on the table is still smoking.
That gun. That gun.
What about it?
It belonged to my husband. Siva is at work again.
It wasn't Siva this time, Ruth. That gun was fired by someone in this room.
Oh, but who, Paul? Who?
What about the Shadow? Where is he?
Yes, where's the Shadow?
Shadow. Shadow, you still here?
He's gone. Well, that's your murderer, Commissioner.
Listen, right now, I don't care who the murderer is.
What do you mean?
All I can see is a blazing headline. Police Commissioner at seance where Mystic is killed.
Part one of The Shadow. Curse of Shiva.
I really loved the Shadow movie they made in the, what, 80s, 90s?
Yeah. The only thing that I didn't care about that. Yeah, the only one that I didn't really like about that was Jonathan Winters' part in there. He was just like a total buffoon in there.
As
his uncle. Yeah.
It was Jonathan Winters portraying Jonathan Winters.
Which he was quite good
and
at.
And I love Jonathan Winters. I love that guy,
the whole part didn't belong there.
Right, right. Well, the part could have stayed there, but they needed someone else. Ed Asner, maybe.
Ed Asner.
As chief.
It would have been a different part. Yeah, I would have come out different.
Yeah.
Ed Asner.
Yeah. Ernest Borgnine. No,
there you go.
Ernest wouldn't have fit in that one. But I was waiting for
Ernest.
Yeah. We haven't heard about him in a while. Just trying to keep it alive.
Well, a whole lot of radio, not a whole lot of time. Let's wrap up The Shadow and make sure we have enough time to do some shameless self-promotions. Here comes the conclusion. We'll be back.
I don't mind confessing to you, Lamont. I'm completely baffled.
Well, how about the murderer's gun? Were there any fingerprints on it?
Not a sign of one.
Well, then it couldn't have been the great god Siva.
What do you mean?
Well, surely with seven hands, he'd be bound to leave at least one fingerprint.
I'd rather not hear any more talk about the great god Siva. Did you see the newspapers?
You mean the headlines?
Yeah. They're calling me Seven Hands Weston. That's fine stuff for the department.
Well, you would go running around to seances.
Listen, who was the one who insisted that I attend that clam bake? You, my friend. You told me it'd solve the whole case.
Well, I can be wrong, you know, Commissioner.
Yeah. And I can be wrong for even talking to you. Now, clear out, will you, both of you? I've got work to do here.
You mean you don't want us to help you?
Yes. You can help me by getting out.
Well, you'll be sorry. Come on, Margo.
Okay.
We'd still like to give you a hand, Commissioner.
No, but he doesn't need one, Lamont.
No?
Of course not. He's got seven of them now.
Get out.
Well, what to do now, Lamont?
I think a visit to the Simmons household might be in order.
May I come along?
No, I'm afraid not, Margo. This will be a private visit for the Shadow. I do know how you feel, Ruth. I wish I could do something to help.
Oh, why don't you stop that talk, Bill?
Oh, Paul, what are you saying?
All day long I've heard nothing, but I do know how you feel, Ruth, and I do wish I could help Ruth.
Oh, Bill has been very sweet to me, Paul.
I know how sweet he's been to you. You think I'm blind?
What do you mean?
Now, listen, Bill, you may have fooled John Simmons, but you're not fooling me. You're crazy about Ruth.
Oh, Paul.
Always have been crazy about her. Now that John is out of the way, there's nothing to stand between you.
Just a minute.
Are you implying that I killed John Simmons?
Well?
Are you? Are you saying that I murdered my best friend just to get his wife?
If the shoe fits, Ben.
Why,
no, you...
please. Please, both.
I'm not going to stand for that kind of talk, Ruth.
Oh, no?
No, you lying little...
Just a minute, gentlemen.
Shadow.
I see. You remember me, Mrs. Simmons.
What are you doing here? What do you want?
Well, I came here to clear up a misunderstanding. The accusation that I killed your friend Omar...
You must have done it. You were the only one.
No. Don't forget that there are three of you, any one of whom could have committed both the murders.
That's not true.
I must confess, Mrs. Simmons, that I've been eavesdropping on your little conversation here, and it was most revealing.
Oh, see here, if you're going to believe what Paul just said about me...
I'm not believing anything. Yet. First, I must ask some questions. We'll begin with you, Mr. Reynolds.
Well?
Is it true that you are in love with Mrs. Simmons? Is it?
Yes.
Bill, why did you...
Why not admit it, Ruth? Bound to come out sometime. I'm not at all ashamed to say that I love you.
And the inheritance from Mr. Simmons' estate. An inheritance that will go to his wife. Does that make her any less attractive in your eyes?
No. No, it doesn't. That's not my reason for loving
her. There, you see...
Just a minute, Mr. Loring. You said that John Simmons was your best friend, Mr. Reynolds. Was he still your best friend before he died?
Well, I... Of course he wasn't. They'd had a quarrel. Ruth will tell you that.
Paul.
Is this true, Mrs. Simmons?
Well, perhaps it is. Oh, but Bill didn't kill him. I know he didn't.
How do you know?
Why, I just feel it, that's all.
That's not a complete answer, Mrs. Simmons. You know more than you're willing to tell.
Oh, no. No, I...
When the second seance started, the one at which Omar was killed, the mystic instructed all of you to join hands. Isn't that right?
Yes.
One of you broke that chain when the shot was fired. Now, which one of you did it?
Not I.
I didn't.
No, I didn't do it.
One of you is lying, and I'm warning you. I shall be watching all of you constantly until I find out who it is. That guilty one will then answer to the shadow.
Well, what did you learn, Lamont?
Not very much. At this point, I would say that any one of the three could have done it.
Even Simmons' wife?
Yes, even his wife.
Well, perhaps it was all three of them.
Wait, Margot.
What?
Wait, I think I have it. I think I've come up with something.
Well, what? What is it?
Margot, this could be the key to the whole mystery.
Well, tell me.
I'll take it. Hello?
Lamont, this is Weston speaking.
Oh, yes, Commissioner.
Seaver struck again.
What? Who was the victim?
Woman's nephew, Paul Loring. Was attacked with the same statue that killed Simmons.
Is he dead?
I don't know. Look, Cranston, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I think you might be some help to me. Meet me out at the Simmons' home at once.
The police commissioner is right in there, sir.
Oh, thank you. Come along, Margo. Well, good evening, Commissioner.
Come in, Cranston.
Thank you. Loring, you're alive.
Yes, I'm alive.
He was just stunned by the blow. He's got a bump on the head, that's all. Go ahead with your story, Loring.
Well, as I told you, I was seated at Simmons' desk. The lights went out, and someone seized me. We struggled, and then I was struck on the head. That statue...
Reynolds, where were you and Mrs. Simmons?
Well, we were upstairs. We heard Paul call for help and rush down.
Did you see anyone leave the room?
No. No, we didn't.
Commissioner?
Yes, Cranston?
May I make a suggestion?
Oh, same old story. Not another seance.
Yes. Only I'll conduct it this time, Commissioner.
You?
Yes. I do have a knowledge of those things.
Now, listen. There'll be no more seances, even if Seaver himself were conducting it.
But, Commissioner, what have you got to lose?
Yeah, what have I got to lose? Just my job, that's all.
Commissioner, that last gathering, the one that Omar conducted, proved that the murderer was human and present in Omar's apartment.
So?
At another seance, the murderer would be present again.
Oh, why do I listen to you?
But you are listening, Commissioner. Will you give me a chance?
All right, all right.
Good boy.
I'll bring Mr. Simmons, Loring, and Reynolds to your apartment in an hour. Let me warn you. If any word of this thing leaks out to the newspapers, believe me, Cranston, in front of witnesses, I'll skin you alive.
Well, now that we're all gathered here, I'd just like to say that I'm merely an amateur at this psychic business, and I promise no definite results. I will, however, follow the usual seance procedure.
I've arranged the seats in a circle, Lamont.
Oh, thank you, Margot. Now, will you all please occupy the same seats that you used at Omar's seance?
Well, I was sitting on this side.
That's fine. All right. Thank you very much. Now, Margot, Would you please put out the light?
Yes, surely. There you are.
In this circle, as in the circle before, hands will be joined as hands were joined before. The chain must not be broken. Thought must concentrate with thought, mind with mind, until all thoughts and minds are one. Through space, through the infinite, through the many outer worlds we journey together, hands linked, minds linked, in search of one who can tell us much. Omar, do you feel this wave of thought that is reaching you? Omar, speak to us. Speak, Omar.
Look, it's all emerging into life. It's Omar. The face of Omar.
Silence, please. Speak to us, Omar. Reveal to us all that you know.
I have been awaiting your call. I could not rest until the summons reached me. I must tell all that I know. One of you gathered here was my friend. I trusted you, friend. Believed in you. But you failed me. Betrayed that trust. You are my murderer. Why did you do it? Why? Did I not swear to keep our plan secret? Did I not fulfill my part of the bargain?
No.
I cannot rest. The great Siva will not let me rest until I reveal the name of the murderer. I must unmask him that all may know of his treachery.
Oh, please stop it.
I cannot stop now. I must reveal the name. I must bring this into the open. Paul Loring.
No, this is a trick.
This is no trick. I followed your instructions, Paul Loring. I helped you to do away with John Simmons. I defiled myself by putting the blame for it on the great name of Siva. You killed him.
That's a lie.
You killed him and you killed me as well.
Shut up.
You are a double murderer.
Put on the light, Margo, quickly.
Right.
A
second time now, you're dead.
Take that gun away from me, Commissioner. Give me that revolver. Commissioner, there's your man, Mr. Paul Loring.
Paul. Paul, I can't believe it.
I did it. I killed John.
Why? Why?
Because of his money. His money.
How could you get the money? It all went to his wife.
Well, his wife is also my aunt. I knew that when the estate passed into her hands, I could control both her and the money.
Why did you kill Omar?
He knew too much.
And I suppose the blow on the head that you received in the library was self-inflicted?
Yes. No more questions. Please.
All right. Better come along with me, Loring. You too, Mrs. Simmons. I'll go with you, Ruth.
Thank you, Bill.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the seance, Commissioner.
Well, it was all right, Cranston. I didn't really need it. I was wise to this bird all along. Come on, everybody. Good night.
Good night, Commissioner.
Well, Lamont, that was an excellent job.
Thank you, Margot.
But you know, I do wish you'd explain a couple of things to me.
Oh, what's that?
Well, first, I could have sworn that was Omar himself. How did you manage that?
That was a death mask of his face. Oh. And as for the voice, well, I indulged in a bit of mimicry. I felt sure that it would unnerve the killer and he'd give himself away.
But how did you know that Loring was the killer?
Oh, it was simple. The good old process of elimination. There were three suspects, each of whom swore that he never let go of the hand of the other during the seance when Omar was killed.
And yet you knew someone had broken the chain in order to fire the gun.
Exactly. Consequently, the only reason why none could remember letting go of his neighbor's hand is that no one did, except Omar. Omar must have been holding the murderer's hand.
And you couldn't very well ask Omar.
No. Thus, the murderer of Omar must have been sitting right next to him.
Oh, but Omar had two hands.
Mm-hmm, I know, but it had to be Loring. You see, Commissioner Weston was sitting on Omar's other side.
Oh, I see. But there's one thing you overlooked, Omar.
What's that?
Good old Siva could have been holding hands with all of them.
bitter fruit. Crime does not pay.
Like grapefruit.
The shadow knows.
The shadow knows.
The shadow knows.
Has a word on it. The shadow's nose. Anyway.
All we have is his, all we have is his word that he knows. That's all we have.
That's true. He doesn't tell us everything he knows. But here's someone who will tell us something that he knows. Eerie House Radio proudly presents Scar's Moral of the Story.
The problem with killing for money is killing for money.
Now that wasn't so bad, was it?
It was disgusting.
No, come on. That wasn't disgusting.
Well, not very.
Yeah. Darn you, soundbite. A lot of curse movies. Curse of the Werewolf. Curse of the Mummy.
Curse of the Mummy? Yeah.
Curse of Frankenstein.
Curse of Dracula. I'm sure there was a Curse of Dracula.
I don't believe so. I don't know of one anyway.
You know one that never made it was the Curse of the Loch Ness Monster. Just never made it. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Right. Put a pick in.
You should have. Curse of the Alien.
The producer couldn't hold his breath long enough, Gar. That's why. Yeah.
Ah. Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yep. A lot of films about curses, too. The Grudge, the Ju-on films.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah.
All werewolf movies are about curses. The werewolf, yeah. Being a werewolf is a curse.
Is The Grudge the one where the little girl comes out of the TV?
I don't know. She's got the long black hair.
Long black hair, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Japanese
Japan.
Horror. Yeah, Japanese horror. I get a kick out of the, yes.
Army of the
Dead.
Every
vampire story could be a curse, sort of.
All the Evil Dead movies are about a curse. Yep.
What? In the TV show, the Living Dead, they never said what started it, right?
The TV show? You mean The Walking Dead?
Yeah, The Walking Dead. Yeah.
It is believed that something got out of control at one of the disease control centers, I believe.
Oh, okay. Man, that's been played to death. No pun intended.
Yeah, it's all over. There's so many spinoffs of it, too, now.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm watching, the second or third spinoff, and it's getting ready to wrap up now.
Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The Princess and the Frog. Yeah.
Princess and the Frog.
The Four Skulls of Jonathan Drake. There's an oldie, but that's about a curse. The Bell Witch, that's a curse.
Yeah, that was horrible.
Bride of the Gorilla
the
had curses in it.
Was the Bell Witch the one where they made it up? It was like the first reality ghost movie or something? Or is that a different
one? That was the Blair Witch. Is that what you said?
Blair Witch. Okay, yeah. Okay.
Similar, yeah, but not the same. But they're both about curses, I think. How about Christine, the car Christine? Would you say that's a cursed car? I would say.
I don't remember what made Christine come back to life.
It was a cursed car. It belonged to, he bought it from an old guy whose brother owned it, and he died, and all kinds of horrible things happened to him. But he said it was the same thing. When he bought the car, it's like it took him over.
Ah, okay.
And the prelude of the movie, they show the car, as it's coming off the assembly line, even killed a couple auto workers. Or no, injured one and killed another.
Right.
Yep.
What about like some of those movies like Jason or Michael Voorhees or whatever? Are any of those cursey like?
There was a Halloween called The Curse of Michael Myers, but I don't know that he's a, well, maybe he's a cursed kid. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. And with curse in the title, oh my gosh, there's The Curse of Bridge Hollow, The Curse of the Moon Child, Curse of Simba, Curse of Sleeping Beauty, Curse of the Black Widow, Curse of the Blood, Curse of the Cat People, Curse of the Doll People, Curse of the Mummy's Tomb, Curse of the Undead, Curse of the Werewolf, Curse of the Witching Tree, Cursed, and The Cursed, which is a 2021 film. Yep. Here's a fun one, I Married a Witch. Remember that movie?
No, I didn't like that one. It reminded me too much of my first marriage.
Yeah, well, there we go again. Back to that curse. There we go. So anyway, that's some curse movies to think about, including The Mummy from 1959 and from 1932. That's a definite curse. He was.
That one is, yeah. Maybe
I think
those ones about Egypt all had curses on them. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Especially with the mummies when they come to life, they're a cursed former Egyptian, cursed to walk the earth. And if you shove enough tanna leaves in him, he'll do what he'll do what you tell him.
Yeah. True, true.
I wonder where you can get... Is there a mail order for tanna leaves? I'd like to know. I would like to get some tanna leaves.
There should be. Yeah. It should be on Amazon.
I was just saying, get anything on Amazon.
Yeah, exactly. Amazon should have tanna leaves. I'll have to look that up. Anywho, one more story. This one from the weird circle. Curse of Myrtle. No, Curse of the Mantle.
Oh.
Curse Myrtle. She was cursed. This one was originally broadcast
Sunday, January 30th, 1944. And I did the math.
They said there wouldn't be any math.
And
pretty modulator.
Out of the past, phantoms of a world gone by speak again their immortal tale, The Curse of the Mantle. Listen. The bell has been tolling since the procession began. Since sundown, its dismal clang has beat upon the town, rung upon it like hammer upon anvil, tolling for the damned. They are bearing the mantle of Lady Eleanor to be publicly burned. And from where I stand, here in the dim cemetery above my own grave, I can see the procession moving slowly through the street. George Helwys is at the head. Behind him, upon a litter, gleams the magnificent mantle. How many eyes, sick with disease, watch this procession? How many dead, like myself, listen to the tread of their feet? How many recall the events that led to this feverish evening in spring? It begins when these dead walked and these diseased laughed. It begins in her uncle's, the governor's mansion, in the room with a great mirror. The chandelier was ablaze with candles. And she stood there, the Lady Eleanor, gazing at herself in the mirror. Behind her sat George Helwys, her fiancé.
You've stared at your image in the glass a long time, Ellen.
Yes, I have.
Ah, the vanity of women. Are you dissatisfied at what you see, my love?
Are you, George?
Oh, am I dissatisfied with the lovely summer's day? But come, come, look at me. I'm by far the more eloquent mirror. That one is silent, while I proclaim the beauty I see.
Yet the real mirror is more honest, for it shows me as I really am.
Then I am its voice.
A man's voice.
And a lover's.
Yet I am not satisfied. I am but another weed in the garden.
What is it, milady? You stare so earnestly at yourself.
Oh, do I? I've only been imagining how I shall look in my new mantle, George.
Oh, the mantle again.
It is beautiful. Nothing like it has ever been seen. It is woven and stitched as if it were the work of gods.
Or the work of devils.
Are you listening to foolish tales, George?
I do not know whether they are foolish tales, Ellen. I do know, though, that there is something uncanny about your seamstress, Mrs. Willows. True, she has cause for being half mad, bedridden all these years, but it's something else. There have been hints and outright accusations about it.
Such as?
That she is in league with the devil.
Oh.
Yes, laugh, milady. Call it schoolboy fears or what you will. Nonetheless, I am a God-fearing man, and I do not trust her.
What would you have me do, George?
Do not take the mantle, Ellen. Do not wear it. Do not ever go to Mrs. Willows again.
I am going for it this day. In fact, I'm going now. Will you accompany me?
You will not listen to me.
No.
All right, then. I will go with you now. She doesn't answer, Ellen.
She might be sleeping. Open the door. We'll wake her.
It's dim. I cannot see anything.
Oh, here. Here, my fine bird. In the bed, see? Mrs. Willows never gets up to leave her work. No, she's laid here and stitched a proper winding sheet all these years.
It's I, Lady Eleanor, Mrs. Willows. I've come for a...
A mantle. A special mantle.
Yes.
A covering fit for a queen. Isn't it pretty? Look at it. The devil never had one lovelier.
Well, I cannot see well. It's so dim.
Then open the shutters. Open them up, young man.
Yes, sir. Yes, of course.
Would you have your lady miss her treasure in the dark?
Oh, it's beautiful. Beautiful.
Yes, look at it.
Oh.
It lies like a royal beast across my lap. Blood red with cunning gold, eh? I've stitched all a madman learns into it. All a sick bed teaches.
Is it finished?
You'll wear it then. Still hot from my fingers, eh? That's correct, my bird. Yes. Yes, it's done. Every last stitch in proper place. Oh, it wants to go to you. I can feel it stirring beneath my fingers.
Oh.
Patience. Patience. I've also waited a long time. Patience.
Ellen.
Come. Put it on, my lady. Put it on. And gaze at yourself in my mirror. Over there. Let me look upon you both. I've the soul of an artist.
Ellen, don't.
I've never seen such a beautiful thing. Never.
Take it. That's it, my beauty. Fasten the clasp now. Quickly. And look. Oh. You've never seen a beauty now, have you?
Oh.
It turns a pretty girl into an imperious queen, doesn't it? Yes. Yes, my mantle has a royal gift to offer. Empires are sacked for beauty such as yours now. You have power and regal pride. The clock is running down. It's time, master. Take.
Ellen, take it off. It's cursed. Cursed, I beg of you, fling it off.
Quiet.
Give it back before it's too late, Ellen.
Don't be a fool.
So it is time. Yes, I've passed it on. We've an heir, master. An heir. Tick.
She's dead. Dead.
Ah. Your mantle is beautiful. Beautiful.
Her beauty was an incredible thing now. Haughty and commanding as a goddess's. But when she wrapped herself in the mantle, she wrapped herself in a cold and terrible pride. For all at once, she changed. Scorn for ordinary mortals reared itself beside her majesty, and people cursed her and her mantle. All love was frozen in her, Now she looked upon George Helwes with contemptuous eyes. One day he came to the governor's mansion. He arrived when the Lady Eleanor was in the garden, surrounded by Dr. Clark, Captain Langland, and Mr. Roberts, the school teacher.
No doubt you do find it strange, Mr. Roberts.
I had only thought it curious, milady. I meant nothing.
Quillen, I haven't seen a young man about for some time. An old sentimentalist knows such things.
I am not flattered by your interest, Doctor.
Who is this young man you speak of?
An epitaph, Captain Langland. I'm afraid you never met its subject. Shall we speak of other things?
Milady,
yes?
Begging your pardon, milady, but there's a gentleman in the hall.
Who is it?
Master George, ma'am.
The devil, tell him I'm away. Well, Doctor, how are your sentiments faring now? Are you still here?
Excuse me, ma'am, but he knows you're here. He's seen you through the window.
You fool! Did you let him? Ah, well. You must excuse me, gentlemen. I've a ghost to be laid away.
Why, surely yes. Ellen.
Yes?
It wasn't easy for me to come here. I'm not one to bear the role of a turned-out dog gracefully.
Is that how you picture yourself?
Yes, that and sometimes more. Ah, have you no pity left? Throw off the mantle, Ellen. Burn it. It's turned you into a marble statue, a soulless being. Burn it, Ellen.
The door, Mr. Helwes, is behind you.
There's still time yet. Let our love consume it. Burn the mantle.
Listen to me, and listen well. We are as far apart as the mountaintops are from the bottom of the sea, as the sky from the earth, as the living from the dead. All that you stand for, goodness and pious love and humility, is hateful to me. I will have none of this kind of human grovel.
Ellen!
Your kind would believe a garden patch a paradise. I demand empire. You would creep along with pious caution while I will leap the world. I will have grapes in the dead of winter. I will command the trees' greenery to stand firm against the winter. I will hear nightingales and larks in the desert. Power! Power! I shall be cloaked in it. All nature will perform for me while you grovel in the dust. Get away from me.
What is the mantle made of you, Ellen?
Your enemy, Mr. Helwes. Your deadly enemy.
The desire for power grows like a malignant cancer in the body. And as the days went by, the name of Lady Eleanor became a hateful one amongst the people. More and more she withdrew from them, keeping regally aloof, like some cold and isolated tower. Even upon the night of her uncle's, the governor's reception, she stood apart from the throng, imperious, her mantle ruby red and gleaming upon her shoulders.
You are looking extraordinarily beautiful tonight, milady.
Hmm? What were you saying, Captain?
That you are beautiful tonight, milady. Don't you think so, Doctor?
Is it time yet?
Time?
The devil, I mean, what time is it?
Oh, it's 9 o'clock, milady. Are you expecting someone?
I don't know. The evening is unbearably long. What time did you say, Captain?
Nine o'clock, milady.
Is that all? He drives a rusty chariot. Well, who is here tonight?
Why, everyone, milady. Without much trouble, I can see the King's Commission, Lord and Lady Rothcliffe, Sir John, and many others.
And George Helwes.
Where?
Behind you, milady.
What are you doing here?
Listen to me, Ellen. It's not too late. Drink this wine. Drink from this goblet and pat amongst the guests.
Good Lord, it's a communion vessel.
Yes. It's holy wine, Ellen. Holy. You must believe me. Drink and let others sip from the same cup. Let them see that you are not withdrawn from all human love. Drink and we will burn the mantle.
Go amongst the cowards for your converts, Mr. Helwes. Win over the inglorious meek. I repeat, I shall wear an empire for a diadem in my hair.
You must drink, Ellen, you must.
The wine may be poisoned. See,
don't be ridiculous.
You clumsy ass. You splattered my mantle. I'll have you beaten to a pulp.
What's the matter,
Ellen?
A chair. Quickly. A chair.
Cast the mantle from you, Ellen.
I'm dizzy. Doctor.
Yes, Ellen.
Doctor. Oh, Doctor, I must not die. I must not. You must help me.
She's fainted. Oh,
let me help lift.
Come on. The mantle.
What?
Look. It glows like a thing alive. Like a thing alive.
Like a thing alive.
like a thing alive.
She sounds like someone Nick White.
Like a thing alive. Like a thing alive.
Oh, we're back. Some weird circle. Yeah. So another crazy curse. Courtesy of Weird Circle.
Wait, is it over? It's not done yet.
No. That's
part uno.
Only part one.
I got lost. Okay. All right.
We've got an incredible 11 hours and 32 seconds of radio to go.
I'm
and then
there.
More fun. And then more fun.
Wow.
Well, yeah, a lot of curse movies. We've got Stigma, Spectre, all versions of Sleeping Beauty. I guess, yeah, that's a curse. I guess the witch curse is the sleep curse on her.
Yeah.
Snow White had a curse. There was an apple or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, the curse is the duel of the movies this year.
Yeah.
For Snow White. She also, didn't she get cursed? No. Yeah.
Oh, could be.
I don't know.
But yeah, there was an apple. Jealous stepmother said, "Eat an apple, my dearie." And she did.
Well,
yeah.
But she was told to do that by this nosy mirror who really had influence over her. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The mirror was a bad dude.
Bad dude. Oh. Bad mirror. Bad mirror.
Bad dude.
Have either of you guys seen the film Flora and Ulysses? It's about a squirrel superhero.
Was he cursed?
the squirrel got sucked up into this revolutionary vacuum cleaner and became a superhero. It's really good.
Yeah.
And there's some cat things in there where a cat attacks a game warden. Absolutely hilarious. Mad cat.
That sounds like a little justice there, because the cat gets back. The cat strikes back.
Oh, the cat, yeah, all the way to the end and into the credits, the cat's still there, even at the end. And I was like, oh, they just nonstop cat. It was a great film.
I had no idea there were this many curse movies. You could consider all the Poltergeist movies. That house was cursed.
Yeah, that was. Again, I was an usher when Poltergeist was released. Super creepy on the big screen. I can watch it all day long on TV, but when it's, 8 feet tall and X number of feet wide, it's spooky.
And you ushed. I'm surprised The Exorcist is not on this list. That's a big curse. And there was a lots of cursing in it, too.
Well, the Exorcist isn't really a cursing as much as it is a spirit taking into...
Yeah, probably more of a possession. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But she cursed. I'll never forget when she said, "Your mother so sucks that smell," or something of that nature.
Ribbon, gobber, goober. Yeah, when he said
something
that.
Of that nature.
Yeah. That we won't repeat here on good old
radio. That's as close as I get to that one.
That's right.
On radio. On Eerie House.
Hence the voice of...
On Eerie House, yeah.
On Eerie House.
Rickin, frackin, rickamacka, rickin, snarkin, backin. Yeah.
We're good boys and girl. Our female counterparts. Yeah, I don't know. CW is probably slating away at her place of employment. Or something.
Yes, that's usually when she's MIA, that's where she's at. She's at this dreaded four-letter place called work, yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
Said it.
Woo!
On my show. Oh, on our show.
Oh, man, we're going to have to voice over that with Rick and Frack and Rick and Rock. Yeah.
It's lava soap for you.
Uh-huh.
What, you mean work? Uh-oh.
Rick and Rock.
Coming my way.
The only problem with that is Dave likes the taste of lava soap.
I do. You know, especially if I get a little bit of sour cream with it and a little bit of a pinch of salt, and I'm all set.
Yeah. A pinch of salt. A little nutmeg.
A lot of things that happen to you can cause curses, too, like breaking a mirror, walking under a ladder, crossing the path of a black cat, which I find to be good luck. Every black cat I came across brought me some good luck.
Yeah.
And some luck.
Yeah.
And a mouse.
No, I never had. None of my cats ever brought me a mouse.
Really?
Yeah.
Never had mice.
Never had. Not that we knew about. Maybe they were too tasty to bring home.
Hey, with two smokers at home, they ain't going to last long. Let's put it that way, the mice.
Yeah. We had mice, but they came down with a cancer.
Yep. One had a lung removed. It was sad, but, you know.
Yeah. Low cost carcinogens for the old rodent population.
And mice at Dale's house said, please send me back to the lab. Send me back to the lab.
Yeah, back to the lab.
Back to the lab.
Except for this one.
So we can take over the world.
I was going to say, one of them just, he wouldn't leave. He wanted to take over the world.
Man.
What are we going to do? Narf.
Oh, I love that. Narf. Yeah, he was Narf, hilarious.
Brian. What do we do to Narf, Brian?
I know.
And Brain sounds just like Orson Welles.
Yeah. And he looked like him, too, which was really bad. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Planned? We don't know.
We don't know. But we know we've got the curse of the mantle, which seems to be making this lady a real meanie, Pepsi Beanie, as we wrap up.
Eeny, beanie.
The plague began on that night, and its first victim was Captain Langland. Then, inexorably, it moved through the town, leaving like an invading army a path of ruin. Each house had its tears, and each house rang with the curses for Lady Eleanor. She and she alone had provoked God's anger, they said. But was it his anger? Was it? Miraculously, Dr. Clark remained untouched by the disease that seized the town, and all day long he moved in and out of sick rooms, a gray-haired, weary man. He would not rest in spite of the urgent pleas of his housekeeper.
But you cannot go on like this, Doctor.
Only the dead have the privilege of resting, Mrs. Burns.
Well, at least eat the food I cook for you. You'll be in the churchyard yourself in no time.
If you can find room for me there. Half dozen funerals passed me in the street today, and no one was weeping. No one has tears left anymore. And still the bell goes on tolling.
Her mantle.
Eh?
Yes, she and her cursed mantle. Has the plague struck her? Her skin's still lily white, I'll warrant. The Lady Eleanor. The devil's lady.
Nonsense, Mrs. Barnes.
Oh, I know. You and your books of science. Begging your pardon, Doctor, but there's a lot that's not in your books.
Mrs. Burns, I... who is it?
I'll go see. The doctor, it's I, Sarah. Mr. Roberts, the schoolteacher. He's fainted and the fever's burning him.
When did this happen?
Oh, this afternoon, sir.
Mrs. Burns, get me my bag.
But your meal, Doctor. You've had no lunch this day, I'm sure.
True, but James Roberts might not have breakfast tomorrow. He has much less time than I. Much less, Mrs. Burns. Much less.
That you, Doctor?
Aye, James. It's I.
Oh, good. There's a great deal to say. It's hot. Open a window, Sarah. Open one.
Don't twist so, James. You can open a window, Sarah.
A lot to say, Doctor. A lot. He's claiming his bill now, Doctor. A goodly sum.
Who is?
The Horn Gentleman. The Lady Eleanor's banker. You know. Credit. Unearthly beauty. Cost lives.
Has this nonsense gotten you too, James?
Doctor.
Yes?
Doctor, is there a bell tolling?
Aye, James.
There's nothing you can do to stop it, is there? Oh, it makes such a dismal clang.
No, nothing.
Doctor, Doctor, listen to me. I've been speaking with George Henry's. Burn the mantle. Go to her room and seize it. For the contagion is there.
James, be still.
No, you must listen. You can go there. You're a doctor.
I am also a man of science.
That is inadequate now. You must burn it. Doctor?
Yes? James. James. Sarah. The window. You can shut it now. He's dead. Dead.
He came downstairs to the street again. An old man with exhausted eyes. There was a funeral passing. A half dozen mourners bearing a small casket. He turned and began walking away. Suddenly he heard a voice calling.
Doctor! Dr. Clark!
He stopped.
Dr. Clark!
And turned back. There was a man running toward him. Another one, thought the doctor. Another one.
Well, who is it now?
The Lady Eleanor.
What? She seemed well enough this morning, Doctor.
If you will permit me, sir, I'll go up.
Yes, yes, do. Oh, here, wait, I'll walk with you. Doctor.
Yes, Your Excellency.
I'm not an ignorant nor a credulous sort of a man. And I have the utmost contempt for superstition, but the mantle. I don't carry foolish tales about either, Doctor. But I've heard some,
that the mantle is cursed, Your Excellency.
Aye, that's it in a nutshell. Nonsense of that kind. I don't like it. What's that?
George Helvis.
What are you doing in this house, Master Helvis? What do you want?
Her. Look.
A red banner of the epidemic.
Yes, for her.
Are you mad, George? Will you make a mockery of the poor girl's suffering?
Death and disease are in the form of Lady Eleanor. And I am the banner bearer.
Now, George, listen to me. We were friends in better days. You shared some confidences with me. I know how you loved her. I promised to do all in my power to save the Lady Eleanor, but you must not go near her.
Save her? She whose very breath breathes a poison in the air? Whose mantle has shaken death and pestilence upon us? Never was so great a curse visited upon this land as the Lady Eleanor.
How dare you, sir? Get out!
I must see the Queen in her awful beauty of the pestilence. I must see God's work. She challenged his order. She raised her will like a host of spears against him. And like the fallen angel, she has been cast down. I must see the Black Queen.
Will seeing her help?
As water to the thirsty. As succor to the abandoned.
Give me your hand, George. I will take you to her chamber. Here. Here is her chamber, George. Open the door and go in.
It's dim. I do not see her.
Call her.
But Lady Eleanor. Ellen. Ellen. She doesn't answer.
Enter. Enter and keep calling.
Ellen. It's I, George Helvis. Can you hear me?
Water. A drop of water. My throat is burning. Water on the table.
In a moment. Here. Here, drink it.
Who are you?
George Helvis, Ellen.
The scavengers gather. Go away. I am not dead yet.
Where is the mantle, Ellen? Ellen.
These are the grapes that I have gathered in winter. This the empire glittering in my hair. I have been trapped.
Where is it, Ellen?
She lied, George. She lied. She said that power would be mine. That glory would be mine. That I would be an imperial queen on earth. A royal consort. A shining evening star. But she did not say death's consort. No. No, she did not say that.
Have you hidden it, Ellen?
All men were her enemies. And through me, she struck back at them. I was the gatekeeper, George. The gatekeeper.
Ellen, the mantle.
What? What did you say?
The mantle. Where is it?
Oh, it's here. Around me. I am wearing it.
Ellen.
This is royal dying, my man. All queens take their glory to the grave with them. And the prisoner is buried in his chains.
No, Ellen, no.
And you are all avenged by it. My bit of splendor is almost done. They will ask for the crown jewels back. And I will go out through the servants' entrance.
No, Ellen. You will get well. You will.
Poor lad. You love the exiled queen still. If there were pity left in me, I would pity you. But as a close friend of the exiled queen, believe me, she is worth no man's love. What? What? My throat is burning.
What? Here, oh. Ellen, drink. Drink. George.
Yes, doctor.
Did you see her?
Yes, I did.
And is she... What are you carrying there across your arm, George? What is it?
The mantle, doctor. The mantle.
The procession is almost there. They'll burn the mantle before the province house and let the wind take command of the ashes. From where I stand, beside my own grave, my own tombstone, I can see George Helwys entering the square. His mouth is working as if he was shouting, but I do not hear the words. There. They've lowered the litter with a mantle now, and they're building a funeral pyre. About the square strides George Helwys, waving his crimson banner aloft. He stalks the living like death himself. They're finished. There. Someone's coming forward with a blazing torch and flings it. Leap, flame. Leap. A wall of fire has leaped up about the mantle, enveloping it. A ruddy glare glows on the walls of houses, on people's faces, and on the blood-red banner in George's hand. And it is done. Done. The mantle is consumed. Listen. The bell has stopped tolling.
The time-worn pages of the past, we have brought you the story, The Curse of the Mantle. Bellkeeper, toll the bell.
Ring my chickens, baby.
Wraps up. Weird circle. How did Flip Wilson get in here? Weird circle.
The weird circle.
Weird circle. And well, here's something even weirder. Eerie House Radio proudly presents Gar's Moral of the Story.
The notion of the work of the devil. And first, that the devil works. However, I understood he's quite a slacker.
Eeny, meeny, chili beanie, the spirits are about to speak.
Yes. And, I don't know, like if you're the devil.
Yeah. The devil's kind of like a nudge guy. He's not like, I got to put work into this. Kind of like, here's a nudge. You know, that's about all you're going to get out of that guy.
I wonder what the pay and benefits are like.
Warm coffee.
Maybe I'll have a leak.
You never have to pay the air conditioning bill. Yeah.
Yeah, no air conditioning. Hot chocolate all the time.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Yep, yep. No energy crisis. Plenty of wind, heat in the winter. Yep, yep.
That's right. Warm slippers at night.
And summer and night and day.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. Always a warm, toasty bed. A whole bunch of stuff. We're always kind of painting a nice picture of this this whole notion of the devil. What it does to me is it infers that in everything there's some aspect of balance. If you've got light, you've got darkness, you've got, you know, you got this, you got that.
You got yin, you got yang, you got Laurel, you got Hardy, yeah. You got Abbott, you got Costello. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. Exactly.
I remember in the Dungeons and Dragons game, there was a balance between good and evil, but there was also a balance between law and chaos. And chaos did not necessarily infer evil. There was a lawful chaos a lawful evil. They follow a strict code, but they're evil, where a chaotic evil is just randomly crazy evil.
Right. Or like a chaotic event, and from that event offers two avenues of what could happen. And
there was a whole spectrum of balance things there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And one of my favorite authors, Michael Moorcock, wrote a lot of serial type stories. They're sword and sorcery, and after many, many novels, he tied all his main characters into one. They were different incarnations of the Eternal Champion, who was cursed throughout time to take on these great causes, and ultimately, most of the time, he would lose at the end of each episode or epic. And there was an eternal balance. If law or chaos swung too far one way or the other, the balance would come in. And that was the Eternal Champion's job, was to make the balance fall right.
And
it was his curse. It was his curse.
Are you well versed in the stories of the thunder god Thor of Norse mythology?
Not of Norse mythology, no. I'd like to learn more, but I'd also like to learn, Dave, what do we got for tomorrow night at 6:30 Eastern?
Ooh, we have another curse. We have a curse of the whale's tooth from the Cape Cod Mystery Theater. Gar, I'm sorry, but we're going to eat in. I will be a little bit late checking in because we have to eat a little bit into your time. I'm sorry.
That's more than fine.
We slipped in a two-hour show, so. Yep, that's true.
That's cool.
So it'll be a little longer show tomorrow. It'll go till 8:30, but your right eye and Erie House going in your left ear, and hopefully that'll be fun. And it all starts tomorrow at 6:30 when we start with Cape Cod Mysteries, Curse of the Whale's Tooth. There. Got that shameless promotion in. Any sightings of Weirdness Really Bad or Spaceship One coming up soon?
No, not Reese. Not no ones yet, but we're working on some things.
All right. And
good deal.
Hopefully we'll have a CW sighting tomorrow. I want to thank Fogs Bane, good old Bob, for joining us in the chat, as always. It's a good time. And you can fool some of the people all the time and all the people some of the time.
Can't fool mom, that's right.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
And him.
When
and
next
him.
We meet in Frankenstone. Don't come alone. Can you dig it?
That was from a children's show host, Gar, named Captain Penny. Yeah. Ron Penfire.
Yeah, and And it's true, because out of anybody, everybody that you'll ever know on the planet Earth, while they're here, your mom knows you more than anyone. So, yeah, you're not going to, not at all.
I always put that to the test.
I didn't. My mom, no, she'd wear you out. No way.
Oh, no. I'm looking ahead. Dave, you planned a fine Thanksgiving weekend here.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Lots of food. Leftover food, Dave. Mm-hmm.
Stuffing and leftovers, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I found out really quick that my mom would wear you out if you did the wrong thing. So I was like, nope, not me. No, I'm good. Nope. Me, but same. However, I saw this of a neighbor years ago. They were next door, and the parent had a really strong discipline on the kids, just verbally, like, no, you don't, and they wouldn't. And I was like, wow, how did you train them that well? Dog! Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Hello.
Oh, yeah, Paladin sees something outside. And mommy must have gone to bed.
Okay.
Yeah, well I better get. I should probably go see what he's yipping about.
All right.
As much as I want to stay and chit chat, he sounds pretty urgent.
Yeah. Okay.
And can't be duties because I just can't be his duties. Just took care of that, so he wants something. I don't know.
All right. So with CW gone, we just have to turn off the house lights. Turn on the three spotlights. So into the middle spotlight. Can step the one, the only, Jimmy Durante.
Good night,
Mr. Durant. It's time to say good night.
Adios, guys. See you next time.
Bye-bye. Good night. See you, girl. Good night. What more is this say but good night? See you, Paladin.
Okay.
We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo.
You gotta wait for the stinger, Paladin.
Good night.
Meanwhile, all my furniture was gone. No.
Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
Arrivederci. Hasta la vista. Adios.
Adios, muchachos, caballeros de la...
You get out of here.